And when ye pray, ye shall not be as the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, which are the seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have received their reward. For thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. What various hindrances we meet in coming to the mercy seat. Yet who that knows the worth of prayer but wishes to be often that? And when ye pray, ye shall not be as, thus Jesus begins his most wonderful prayer lesson. This is not his only lesson. We have many of them in the gospel. But above all others, Jesus is the supreme teacher of prayer. And in this prayer, he reaches the deepest depths and the widest range of his thought concerning us and his wish for us. He interprets to us most fully his own consciousness of his fellowship with God and his way of constant conferences with his Heavenly Father. He opens this teaching with warnings of the deeper dangers that beset the path to God for the prayer. He is suggesting to us that it is not to be taken for granted. It is something which is most solemn. We are to search our motives. We are to plan our prayer and not simply give expression to passing thoughts or transient ideas and aims. We are to seek for a controlling objective, which is to determine our petitions and the form in which they shall be presented and the reasons which cause us to come to God. Hence the first warning against the vice of the hypocrites, hypocrisy, self-esteem, recognition on the part of men as being pious and godly, as having entree with God above other people. It is as if we should say, now see, here is a man on intimate terms with God. Jesus warns that such a prayer gets its complete and only answer in the demonstration which it makes. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from God. Then he passes on to the warning against the error of the heathen, the Gentiles, as it reads in our verse. They think that they should be heard for their much speaking. They are ignorant of the nature of God. They do not know that they are approaching a heavenly Father who already knows the things that we have need of. They think that God must some way be persuaded, or overpowered, or conjured, or drawn into a right relation and responsive attitude toward men. They are ignorant of the way to influence him, ignorant of the very purpose of prayer. They think they shall be heard for their much speaking. In Peking, one stood in a temple and saw a group of neophytes led by their teachers into the prayer place, and then heard them going over and over again, O Dalai, Dalai, Dalai Lama, Dalai Lama, O Dalai Lama, Dalai Lama, and thus for 20 minutes when it was necessary for us to leave, and they were still going on with this repetition of words. And one thought, they think they shall be heard for their much speaking. These warnings of Jesus we need to take deeply to heart. It is possible for any of us to be hypocritical And for any of us to think that by going over our rigmarole of words, our continuity of ideas, we shall be able to compel God to respond to us. Grant, O our God, that we shall take prayer as the most solemn and glorious privilege in our lives, the most sacred and significant challenge to us for the resources of life. And may we learn from Jesus in his own example and in his teaching how to avoid the dangers of selfishness and sinfulness and wrong notions, that we may really pray unto our Father who seeth in secret. Amen. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thine inner chamber, and having shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret, and thy Father who seeth in secret shall recompense thee. Great God, how infinite thou art! What worthless worms are we, that all the race of creatures bow and pay their praise to thee. Jesus is guiding me into the presence of the Father for prayer. He has warned me against the hypocrisy of the man who wishes to show off, against the mistaken conceptions which men have of God. And now he has guided me and brought me to the very door of the secret chamber and has told me to go in, forgetting all the world outside, and stand shut up in that chamber with God alone. There is intense individualism in this prayer. Jesus emphasizes it by going over and over the singular pronoun, thou. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father who is in secret. It is very personal. What an awesome loneliness I feel in the august presence. I and God alone, shut up in this secret seclusion. There is solitariness at the bottom of prayer. Whitehead has said that religion is what a man does with his solitariness. Jesus has brought the solitary man into the presence of the infinite God. There is community in prayer, but never truly and acceptably do we pray in community until, first of all, we have prayed in solitude. We have known how to deal with God, how to let God deal with us alone, as if we alone stood with him in our world. Pray to thy Father who is in secret. Enter into fellowship with him. Know thyself with him alone. It is a dreadful situation into which the Lord brings us as we stand thus with the Father in this individualism, in this intimate personal relation, as we come to recognize our own littleness and God's infinite greatness. Thus alone do we get ourselves in preparation for the fuller meanings and the larger lessons of prayer. Self-reward thee. Man's mistaken conceptions leads him to desire that man shall know that God has heard him and that he is related to God. And so the copyists put into the text shall reward thee openly. But Jesus did not say that. It is not a question of what shall be known by men, but what shall be the intimate personal relation with God. Grant, O God, that each of us shall learn under the leadership of our Lord how to stand alone in the awesome presence of God. We may not have words, but may we have the deep sense of being with God and under the control of God. In Christ's name, Amen. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. After this manner, pray ye. When thou hast shut thy door, rejoice, my tongue, some heavenly theme, and speak some boundless thing. The mighty works or mightier name of our eternal King. When ye pray, say, what shall I say? Shut up here with the Heavenly Father alone. How shall I address him? What shall I call him? And as I stand in this awesome presence, overwhelmed with the sense of the majesty and the glory of the infinite God, and myself a mere single human being in his presence, how shall I address him? He waits, and Jesus prompts, say, Father, of us who art in heaven. In the Greek text, the word Father comes first, and that is the right order. How shall I think of God? In what terms shall I address him? Jesus taught men, first of all, individually, to think of God as Father. Your Father knoweth what things ye have need of. Come to him as Father. A great Scotch preacher has said, write Father at the head of the list of your prayers, and then put under it whatever you will. Our Father. And then Jesus said, Father of us, our Father. And that is most remarkable after he has been so careful to single a man out and separate him from all other men and all other considerations as coming alone, individually. Thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father. And now Jesus said, say, our, not mine. We cannot pray to God rightly after we've come to feel alone with him until we remember that we are not alone and that God is not concerned in any one of us alone. So we must say, Father of us. Jowett has a great sermon on socialism and prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. Thus, we come upon the limits of our prayer. He circumscribes, but he also expands. He sets limits, but he opens up a limitless range for our petition. I shall ask God for nothing that a Father, an infinite Father, cannot give. I shall ask God for nothing, and that will separate me from my fellows and lift me above you. I shall ask God for nothing which he cannot send out of heaven, and therefore make me more heavenly and bring more of the power of heaven into this world in which I live. Our Father, who art in heaven, that is the approach which Jesus tells us to make. Not alone, but out of the midst of men from whom I have been separated in order that God and I may be related to men together. Thus, Jesus says, we are to begin by the right concept of God and our relation to him. Our Father, help us to remember that. Our Father, help us to remember thy gracious relation, thy love, and redeeming purpose toward all men. Our Father who art in heaven, we on this earth need the power and the principles and the glory of heaven to come into our earth. Help us that we may know how to pray. In Christ's name.